Okay, so starting from the next Mishnah towards the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis 30b, the Mishnah says, Eizu hi aveda. So Eizu hi means what is. It's an expression. Eizu hi aveda. What is considered an aveda, a lost article? The Mishnah responds, Motza chamor, he found a donkey, or para, or a cow, roin, bederach, grazing by the road. Ein zu aveda. This is not an aveda. Chamor v'kelov hafuchin, a donkey and its vessels. Kelim. Kelov, its vessels. Its gear. A donkey and its gear, hafuchin, overturned. Turned over. Or a parah, rotza ben akramim, or a cow running through vineyards. Between vineyards, through vineyards. Hare zu aveda. Behold, this is a lost article. So Rashi says on the Mishnah, Eizu aveda. What is an aveda? The Gemara mefarish. The Gemara is going to explain that. Ein zu aveda. When you find a cow or donkey grazing, that's not called an aveda. Rashi says, Ve'eno chayiv lahachzir. And he's not obligated to return. Shemidas, that from knowledge, hanichuha sham, they placed it there. Rotza ben akramim, the cow was running through the vineyards. The mistakba, that the word mistak, the root is sokav. I think we had this word earlier. It means bruised. The mistakba. That it's going to become bruised. Okay. So that's why. So a cow running through a vineyard is going to get bruised. That's called a lost article. It's a subject to, I mean, you know, it's the kind of place where the owner would not want it to be going because it's going to get bruised and hurt. So that's called an aveda. Mishnah continues. Hachzira ubarcha. He returned it. Ubarcha. And then the animal ran away. Hachzira ubarcha. He returned it. Ubarcha. And it ran away. Afula arba v'chamisha pamim, even four or five times. Chayiv lahachzira. The finder is still obligated to return it. Shnema, as it says in the verse, hashev tashivim. You shall surely return them. That double expression implies keep doing it. Hayibotel, he was idle masela from a seller. He was idle from a seller when the finder was returning the lost article. He was idle from making a seller. He was working, doing some work otherwise. And by returning the lost article, he's lost a seller of work because he was busy returning the object. So lo yoma lo, he can't say to the owner, ten li seller, give to me a seller that I lost because I was returning your item. He can't do that. Elenosin le, rather, he gives to him, the finder, the owner, gives to him just scharo, his wage, kapoa, like a worker. And that's all he's obligated to pay him. He's only obligated to pay him a minimum wage for the work it took him to return the lost article. The Gemara is going to explain this, but let's see, look at Rashi over here. Lo yoma lo tenli seller. He cannot say to him, give to me a seller. Shebetaltu malachti, that I was idle for my work. She yoma lo, because the owner of the article could say to him, if you would have done your work, your regular work, to earn a seller, you would have increased your exertion. You would have had increased exertion. You would have marba, increased torech, exertion. And that's why you would have deserved to get that seller. But achshav, lufi masha torechta. But now, according to that which you exerted yourself, toll take. You've only done a small amount of work to return this lost article to me, so you're only entitled to a minimum wage for doing that. But don't ask me for the seller, for the harder work you would have done had you not given my lost article back. You didn't do that, so now you can only take the amount of wage which corresponds to the amount of work which you did do, which is just schar poel, just the minimum wage of a worker. Kapol Rashi says, but Gumar Mafarish, Gumar is going to explain exactly what that is. And, okay, Mishnah continues, Im yesh sham bezdin. There was this previous case which is said, is a situation where he already returned the lost article to the person, and now he wants to collect his money, the wage. But im yesham bezdin, if there was a bezdin there, if there was there locally, nearby, a bezdin, then he does have the option of being masna bifnei bezdin, of making a condition in front of bezdin. Rashi says, im yesham bezdin, im noach lo litroach yoser, if it's pleasing to him to exert himself more so, kedei laharbos schar, in order to increase his wage, ve'ena chofetz lebatel melachto, and he does not want to be, and he does not desire, chofetz desire, does not desire lebatel to be idle, melachto, from his regular work, so ma yasa, what can he do? In other words, this person over here, he doesn't want to lose a day's work, doesn't want to lose all the money he could make to go and take care of this person's lost article. So what's his option? So ma yasa, what could he do? So it's simple. Im yesh shom shlosha b'nei adam, if there is there nearby three people, yasna b'fneihem, he can make a condition in front of them. So these three people, these three men, serve as a bezdin. So he can make a condition in front of them. V'yoman, he could say, ru'u, see, shani mishtaka kach v'kach, see that I would profit, that I'm going to profit from the word schar, mishtaker, I will profit kach v'kach, such and such amount of money. V'ishi levato libato, and I don't desire to be idle from that. If she is negative, if she desire, I don't desire, I don't want libatel to be idle, litol scharmua, to instead take a lesser wage, a smaller wage, a scharmua, a small wage. And the oshiv im tomru she'etol, I'll return the item, im tomru, if you will say she'etol schar mushalim, if you will say that I can take a complete wage. I'll only do it on condition that I'm going to get my full wage. He's allowed to do that. That's a special halacha, and that could exempt him from doing the Hashavas Aveda if he's not going to be able to get the same amount of money that he would otherwise get by not returning the lost article. So the Mishnah says, that's all very well if there's a Bezdin. But if ain't shom Bezdin, but if there is not there a Bezdin, bifnei mi yasna, before whom can he make a condition? The answer is no one. There's no one to make that condition in front of. And therefore, shelo kodem, and therefore his own welfare, his own financial well-being, takes precedence. That's similar to what we learned at the beginning of this Amud. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah had said that the examples of a lost article are the donkey with the gear on it overturned, or the cow running through the vineyards. So asks the Gemara, Otu kol honi da amrinun lava vedo havu? Otu is question mark. Kol honi, all of these da amrin that we've been saying up until now. In other words, all of the examples of lost articles that we've been discussing throughout the entire perek. The Gemara says rhetorically, lav avedo havu? They are not an aveda. In other words, when the Mishnah here says that what's considered a lost article, and the first the Mishnah says finding a donkey or a cow grazing is not a lost article, but a chamor v'kelev hafuch, and a donkey is overturned gear, as a donkey and its gear turned over, and a cow running through the vine, that's called an aveda, which implies, sounds like it implies, that everything until now, all the articles which we've been discussing until now in the parak are not called the lost articles. That's the Gemara's question. All of the examples before now are not called the lost article. The Gemara says no. Amar of Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, "Hachi kama." This is what the Mishnah means to say. Eizu hi klal aveda. What is the principle? What is the general rule of an aveda? Shehu chayeba. The one is obligated. That he is obligated in it. And the answer is matzah chamur para roim b'derech. If you found a donkey or a cow grazing in the by a road, einzu aveda. That's not an aveda. Meaning to say that this is a paradigm. Chamur para roim b'derech is a paradigm. That's not called an aveda. Things just standing by the side of the road where they should be, where it's normal for them to be. That's not called an aveda. It's like finding a car parked by the road. You're not going to call that a lost article. You're going to drive off with it, or try and return it. Or the Gemara says, "V'lo mechayev bon," you're not obligated in it. A chamor of a kalov, or a chamor a donkey and its gear chavu afuchen tandov, or a par rotsa ben a karamim, or a cow running through the vineyard. Harizah aveda mechayev bon. That's called an aveda, and he is obligated in it. So the Mishnah is just giving us a paradigm of what's an aveda, what's not an aveda, the rule. So Rashi says, klal. This is the rule. Rashi says, stam aveda, a regular aveda, a normal aveda, shemuchachas, that there is evidence, shemuchachas, that there's evidence, shehi sham, that it's there, shalim medas bailim, not from the knowledge of the owners. So now the Gemara asks, on the cow or the donkey grazing by the road, that we're saying that that's not called an aveda, ask the Gemara, le'olam, and is that forever? Meaning to say that even if you see the animal grazing for a long period of time, are we still to say that it's not called a lost article? So Rashi says, ula olam, forever, bitmia, with surprise, meaning say the word ula olam with surprise, it's a question. The kiaf im yimtse'ena, and even if he finds it, shom, there, la olam, forever, loma, we should say, midas he. It's from knowledge. It's been there forever, and it's there from knowledge. The key derech, shalo lahachnis, is it the way not to ever bring it into the stable? So obviously not. Obviously, there's a certain period of time that if it's there, grazing, you assume it's been lost. And the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, Marav, Yehuda, and Marav, the rule is, at shloshi yomim, up until 3 days. For 3 days, you assume it's been placed there, the owner's going to come back. Ask the Gemara though, Heichi Domi, what exactly is the case? What is the case? Heichi Domi. I belel vasa, if this is happening at night time, meaning if you find a donkey or a cow grazing on a road or by itself at night time, so then afilu chada shaita nami, then even 1 hour, chada shaita, 1 hour, 1 moment, nami, also you should return it. It looks lost. Even for it, because it's nighttime, it's an unusual time for it to be grazing. And if it's being found during the day, so then afilatuva nami, then even more than 3 days also. Five days is not an unusual amount of time for a cow to be grazing by a road. So afilatuva nami also, even more than 3 days also, should not warrant being called a lost article. The Gemara answers, lo tzricha, it's not needed except for a case. That's the expression, lo tzricha, it's not needed, lo tzricha, it's not necessary except for a case. In other words, the rule of 3 days is not necessary, we have to throw these words in, except for a case, to have a chazi la bekadmasa uva chashchasa, that he saw it, to have a chazi law, that he saw, have a chazi law, he saw it, chazi law, saw it, that he saw it, but kadmasa, early in the morning, he saw the cow grazing early in the morning, uva chashchasa, or, the vav here would mean or, in fact, there's a little yud over here, notation to the, one of the commentaries on the side, which says, it means to say or, oh, or late at night. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a situation where you found it. The case is finding it. The rule of 3 days applies to finding it for 3 days consecutively, early in the morning or late at night. It's lasi yome. Actually, not late at night, but it's Rashi says, Bekad Musa lifnei alosa shachar, before the morning light. Alosa shachar means the rising up of the morning star. Lifnei, before, alos, the rising up, hashachar, the morning star. And chashchasa is nighttime, shechoshcha arvis, that the evening has darkened. That the evening is darkened, so it's not in the middle of the night, but it's at night, towards the end of the night, towards at the end of the, at the end of the day. So finding the animal grazing at those two periods, that's when the 3 day rule applies. So then the Gemara says, Tlasi yome, 3 days, amrinon, we say, Isramuye Isrami la. It happened to be. Isrami is to happen to be. It happened to be, double expression, Vinafka, happened to be v'nafka, and that it was grazing, and that the animal came out. Nafka, the animal came out. It happened that the animal came out and was grazing. But tefei, but more than 3 days, vaday aveda he. Definitely, it's certainly an aveda. Tanya nami hochi. We learned in a braisa also the same idea. Motza talis. If he found a talis, he found a cloak, the kardum or a hatchet, misratya, in a public thoroughfare. Rashi says derech kavusha l'rabim. The word kavusha means conquered. So a conquered path for the multitude. So it's a big public thoroughfare. So you find a hatchet or a cloak in a sratya, or par rotza ben akramim, you found a cow running through the vineyards. Harizo aveda, that's called an aveda. Talis betzad geder, a talis, a cloak by the side of a wall of a fence, or a kardum betzad geder, or a hatchet on the side of a fence, or para roa ben akramim, or a cow running, grazing between the kramim, between the vineyards. There's a notation over here, the gra, the aleph over there, is a notation to the gra that says that it should say asav and grasses. A cow is grazing in the grasses. So ein zo aveda, this is not called an aveda. But gimel yomim, but 3 days, and here we have it over here, gimel yomim, 3 days, zeh, this after this, harizu aveda. 3 days, one after the other, consecutively, this is called an aveda. Ra mayim sheshotfim. He saw water, it's all part of the braisa. He saw water, sheshotfim, that was flowing, ubaim and coming. Hariza goda bifneim. Behold, this is a situation where he needs to erect a fence. Goda means to put up a fence, gather. Hariza, behold, this is a case of goda bifneim, of erecting a fence, bifneim, in front of them, before them, to stop them from flooding a field. Rashi says, sheshotfim boyim, that they are flowing, and coming. The waters are flowing and coming. L'sada chavero, to the field of his friend. So when you realize this, it's your responsibility to put up a fence to stop the water from flooding your neighbor's field. So that's all part of the braisa. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Rava. Rava said. Rashi says over here. Rashi says milsa ba'ape nafshe, an item. Ba'ape nafshe means by itself. Milsa, a statement or a word. Actually, milsa means a word. Hebrew, Aramaic for milah, a word. So milsa, a word, ba'ape nafshe, by itself. It's an expression. It's a word by itself. It's a statement by itself. Da'omra, Rava, the Rava said, be'bei midrasha, in the base medrash. So what does Rava say? Rava says, it's commenting on the pasuk, l'chol aveda sechicha. The pasuk says, for all lost articles of your brother. The pasuk says, you have to give back any lost article of your brother. Says Rava, l'rabbos avedas karka. This expression comes to include, l'rabbos, to include avedas karka, the lost article of, or the loss of land. In other words, the mitzvah of hashavas aveda doesn't just apply to movable objects, but also applies to property as well. We have an obligation to protect the property of the other, of another. So it comes to include the land itself. You have to protect a person's land from ruination. Omale Rav Chananya l'Rava. Rav Chananya said to Rava, Tanya, there's a braisa, the Mesayeya loch, that comes to support you. Mesayeya, from the word si'ua, which means to aid or to help. He says, I have a braisa that comes to your aid, or assists you in your proof, in your statement, proves you what you're saying. What did the braisa say? Ra mayim sheshotfim. Person saw water that it was flowing, ubaim and coming. Harizeh goda bifnehem. Behold, this is a situation. So what braisa we just saw, he has to put up a fence bifnehem before the water. So Rav Chananya is saying to Rava, that's exactly, it seems to be that the braisa is saying exactly what you're saying. You have to protect the person's field. That's why you're putting the fence up, to stop the water from flooding the person's field. That's a proof of what you're saying. So Rava said back, no. Amalei, he said back to him, Imishum ha, if because of this braisa, ha lo tesayye, behold, it does not support me. if the only proof is this brisa, it's not a support for me. The reason is, because he's going to explain that the brisa could mean something different. Hacha b'mayaskin, because here, with what are we dealing with in this brisa? B'di'ika omrim, where there is. B'di'ika, ika means there is. Literally, in a case, in a situation that there is. Omrim, there is bundles of wheat in the field. So the reason why the brisa says you have to put up a fence to stop the water from flooding the field is to protect the wheat. That's what the brisa is talking about. But right away the Gemara says, if there's wheat in the field, that's why you're putting up the fence to protect the wheat. So my lemeimra, what to say literally? What need is there for the brisa to say that? You don't. There's no need for the brisa to say that. Rashi explains, Maila Meira, what need is there to say it? Tepeklei, literally derive it, or contextually it would mean you could know it. Mishum Omrim, because of the Omrim themselves, because of the wheat bundles themselves, Sheishnam Bechlal Aveda, that they are in the category, that Sheishnam, that they are. I'm not sure how you translate that literally, but Shiyeshnon, that they are Bechlal in the category, in the general rule of Aveda. The Domu, that they are similar. Lepurta, the Seh, is similar to the specification of Seh, of sheep, and similar, Salma. I think it should be similar. Well, it could be the same word, but it's shirt in the Pasuk. They are similar to that specification of those items in the Pasuk of Seh, the Salma. Why to me, for the word chol, all lost articles of your friends, as Rava is quoting the Pasuk, l'ravinahu, to include them, to include the bundles of wheat. Basically, wheat is just like any other movable object you have to save, you have to protect. So you don't need a brisa to tell you you have to protect the wheat in the field. But the Gemara answers and explains, no. The Gemara says, it's not necessary except for a case the isba omrim, that there is in the field bundles of wheat that tzrich la'ara, that need the ground. They need the ground still. They're still dependent upon the ground. So mao detema, what is it that you would say? Kaven the tzrich la'ara, since that they need the ground, they need the earth. So kigufa da'ara damyan, like the body of the earth, they are similar. Kamash Mulan. So I'll explain this. That you see, according to Rava is arguing that the Bryce is no proof to his point that you have to protect land and property as part of Hashavas Aveda. And he's saying that the Bryce could very well hold that there's no obligation to protect land. It's not a movable object, so you don't have to protect it. There's no obligation, that's not part of Hashavas Aveda. And the Bryce is nonetheless telling you, though, that don't think that the bundles of wheat that still needs the earth is part of the earth, and therefore you don't have to protect that as well. The Bryce is saying, no, you have to protect that. You still have to protect the wheat, the bundles of wheat, because it's still fitting to be cut off and is deemed as movable objects and part of the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. But the Bryce could be holding that land by itself is not something which requires protection under the rubric of Hashavas Aveda. So I'll read this again. Lo tzricha, it's not necessary. The ruling of the Bryce is not necessary except for a case. The isba omrim, that there is in the field, omrim, bundles of wheat, the tzricha la'ara, that need the ground. Because ma'u detain, what is it that you would say? Kevin tzricha la'ara, since that they need the ground, kigufa da'ara damyan, like the body of the land, they are similar. And therefore, don't need to be protected. You don't need to save them. Kamash Malon. Therefore, the Brisa comes to teach you that no, you do have to protect the wheat, because it is deemed as a separate item from the field. The field you don't have to protect, but the wheat you do have to protect. That's what the Brisa is talking about. And then Rav is coming along to add on and say that indeed you do have to save the land, because that's part of Hashavas Aveda as well, and you have to protect people's property, just like you have to protect people's movable objects as well. So the Gemara now continues with the next part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, Motzo chamor or parah, the definition of a lost article, not a lost article. So the Mishnah gave these examples. Matzah Hamura Parda, he found a donkey or a cow which was grazing by the side of the road. So that was not considered a lost article. But if you found a donkey with its gear overturned, or a cow running through vineyards, that was considered a lost animal. So the Gemara is medayik, will analyze these two cases. And we're going to focus specifically on para, on cow, just for the sake of convenience. And we're going to be looking at a cow grazing by the side of the road, or a cow running through vineyards. And based upon the laws in the Mishnah, inferences will be made, which will seem contradictory. So the Gemara says, Ha gufa kasha. Behold, literally, its body is difficult. Its body is a difficulty. Now, that's an expression, ha gufa kasha. Its body is a difficulty. What it refers to is there's an internal contradiction in the words of the Mishnah. The body of the Mishnah, the body of the words of the Mishnah, are contradictory to each other. We'll see. Amrat, you said, on the one hand, you said, Matzah Hamor Paro Roim Bederach, he found a donkey or a cow grazing on by the road. Ein Zu Aveda, this is not considered a lost animal. So Roim Bederach Hu Delo Havu Aveda, grazing by the road, it is that it's not an Aveda. Ha, but Rotza Bederach, if it was running Bederach on the road, or Veroa Benakrama, or it was grazing in the vineyards, Havya Aveda, it would be considered an Aveda. In other words, if we're Medayik in the Lashon of the Mishnah, there are two criteria which makes it not a lost article. A, it's grazing, and B, it's by the side of the road. So the implication would be that missing either one of those two elements would then turn it into a lost article, a lost animal. So therefore, if it was grazing in the vineyard, or if it was running in the street on the road, so it would make it considered to be a lost animal. So that's what the beginning of the Mishnah implies. But the Gemara says, "Ema Sefer." I will now say, or quote Sefer, the end of the Mishnah, where it says, "Chamor v'kelav hafuchin, a donkey and its gear turned over, upara rotza bin a kromim, or a cow running in the vineyards." Harizu Aveda, behold, this is an Aveda. So again, we'll do the same inference or the same analysis. Again, we'll focus particularly upon Pora, on a cow. Rotza ben Akramim hu dahavya Aveda, running in the vineyards, it is an Aveda, a lost animal. Ha, but, again, missing one of those two elements. Rotza bederach, either running on the road, or roa ben Akramim, or grazing in the vineyards, ainzu Aveda. This would not be considered an Aveda. So in summary, we have two cases which are not spoken about explicitly in the Mishnah, namely running on the road or grazing in the vineyard. So those are the two unspoken cases of the Mishnah, and the two parts of the Mishnah are both implying contradictory halachas about those two cases. Is running along the road considered a lost animal or not a lost animal? The ratio of the Mishnah implies it is considered lost if it's running on the road. And the safe of the Mishnah implies that running by the road is not lost. And then the other unspoken case is grazing in the vineyard. So the first part, the ratio of the Mishnah implies that grazing in the vineyard is considered lost. And the safe of it says that only running in the vineyard is considered lost, but grazing in the vineyard would be considered not lost. So the question is, what do we do with these contradictory inferences? So the Gemara says, Omar Abaye. Abaye said, Yagid Olav Reyo. So this is a pasuk, actually, it's a pasuk from Iyov. And it literally means, Yagid Olav Reyo means thunder. The thunder will relate about it. In the context of the pasuk, it means that the thunder will relate about whether it's raining. If you see thunder, it means it's raining. But it's an expression where it's applied to where a Mishnah makes a statement, and then the statement which is made relates and tells us about an unspoken statement as well, or an unspoken scenario. So Yagid Olav Reo, these words, right, these words shed light, Yagid Olav Reo, its words will shed light upon it. So, as follows. Tana, Roa, Bederech, the Tana taught, Roa Bederech, if it was grazing on the road, to Lo Havya Aveda, that's not considered Aveda. Vehu Adin, and the same law would apply, Leroa Ben Akromim, to grazing in the vineyard. So that's the unspoken scenario. But from the spoken scenario of grazing on the road, it not being considered an Aveda, similarly, grazing in the vineyards also is not considered lost. And then Tana, Rotza ben Akramim, to have your Aveda. The Tana taught the running in the vineyards, to have your Aveda, it is considered an Aveda. For what then, and similarly the same law would be, Le Rotza Bederach, to running on the road. So Abai is saying that instead of making the inferences and then coming out with contradictions in between the inferences, each statement of the Mishnah is saying what it's saying, and Hu Adin to the other cases as well, to those unspoken cases too. And that grazing always implies not lost, and running always implies lost. But then the Gemara says, Amalei Rava said to Rabaye, he says, I don't like that. He says, I yagid olav reyo. If you're going to say that this idea of one case is speaking about the other case, so listnei kilsa v'kol shekein chamirta. Let the Mishnah teach the less extreme example, less extreme case. Kilsa means, from the word kal, lighter or less extreme. V'kol shekein, and all the more so, chamirta, the more extreme, chomor, the more extreme case, as follows. Listnei rotze bederach, let the Mishnah have taught running on the road, the Havya Aveda, that's considered an Aveda. V'kol shekein rotze ben akramim, and all the more so running in the vineyards, that would be considered an Aveda. If on the road is considered an Aveda, running around on the road is considered an Aveda, then all the more so running in people's vineyards, all the more so that would be considered an Aveda. If that's the style of the Mishnah, that one case is really speaking, is really instructing about or telling about the other case, it should tell us the less extreme example and then infer and say kol shekein, the more extreme example. And similarly, v'listnei roa ben akramim, let the Mishnah teach the example of roa ben akramim, of grazing in the vineyards, de lo havya aveda, that's not considered an aveda. V'kol shekein, and olamosa roa bederach, grazing on the road, that it would be considered an aveda. Would not be considered an Aveda. So because of that objection, Rava comes up with his alternative explanation of the Mishnah. Ela Amar Rava. Rava said the following. Rotza arotza lo kasha. The running upon running is not a difficulty. The running, where we said running on the road, with the contradiction between running on the road, is it an Aveda? Not an Aveda. That contradiction of running upon running is not a difficulty, because for the following reason. Because in this scenario, is the apa legabe dabra, that its face is towards the desert, towards the wilderness. So the inference that says that running on the road is considered lost would be referring to where its face, the animal, is headed towards the desert. Ha de apa legabe dabra. This is where its face is legabe toward dabra, the desert or the wilderness. And ha de apa legabe masa. And this inference, the other one, the inference that says that running on the road is not considered lost, is de apa legabe masa. Is that its face is towards the city. It's going towards the city, so that implies less that it's lost. And then similarly, roa aroa, the inference of grazing upon grazing, where grazing in the vineyard, we had opposite conclusions, grazing upon grazing, nami lokasha, also it's not a difficulty, because kan ba'avedus gufa, here it's dealing with the loss of the animal, gufa, of the body itself, of the animal itself. when we said, so grazing in the vineyard is not indicative of it being lost, it's referring to the loss of the animal. But can the other inference, which says that it is indicative of a loss, is not talking about the loss of the animal. Can ba'avidas karka, it's dealing with the loss of the land. So Rashi says over here, v'ha'ba, this is the first Rashi we have on this part of the Gemara, v'ha'ba avedas gufa, behold, this is the aveda, referring to the loss of the animal itself, mefarish v'azullah, the Gemara is explaining and going on for it, like continue on to explain it, v'avedas karka, is dealing with the loss of the land, v'chayov lehutziya, and you're obligated to remove it, to take it out, mishum, because of hefsed kromim, the loss of the vineyards. So the inference telling you that it's considered loss is not referring to the animal itself, but referring to the loss of the kromim, the kerem, the vineyards, the grapes on the vines. So, the Gemara says, so the Gemara says like this, ki katani roba derech lo havya aveda. So therefore, when the Mishnah taught that if it's grazing on the road, it's not considered an aveda, harobe in a kramim, but grazing in the vineyards, havya aveda, it is considered aveda. That's by aveda's karka. It's dealing with the loss of the land. The ki katani rotza ben akramim, and when it taught in the Mishnah, if it was running in the vineyards, havya aveda, it is considered aveda. Hara ben akramim, but if it was grazing in the vineyards, lo havya aveda, it's not considered aveda. That's dealing with aveda's gufa, the aveda of the animal itself. Why? For the following reason. Deratza beina kramin misakva, because that running in the vineyards misakva, it gets injured. It's going to get injured, and therefore it's a threat to the well-being of the animal. Therefore, you have to retrieve it. But ro beina kramin, but grazing in the vineyards limisakva, it's not going to get damaged or injured from that. So therefore, that's the only threat. The only concern is just the land. So asks the Gemara, for Ro ben Akramim, so in the scenario of grazing in the vineyards, Nehidu lemasakva, the masakva, true that it doesn't get injured, but tepeklei, derive the law that you have to retrieve the animal, take the animal out, mishum avedas karka, because of the loss of the land. In other words, the second inference, that where only is running in the vineyards is considered lost, but grazing in the vineyards is not considered lost, you know, still in all, the animal may not be lost, but you still have to retrieve it nonetheless, because of the loss of the karka, of the land itself. The land is getting damaged. So again, so tepeklei, derive an obligation to retrieve it, and treat it as lost for all intents and purposes, mishum da'avedas karka, because of the loss of the earth, of the ground. The answer is no, but the kusi, because that inference would apply to a kusi. A kusi is a kutite, and refers to an idol worshipper. So this inference would be applicable to a scenario where the vineyard is owned by a kusi, and therefore there's no obligation to be concerned about his property. His land is, because we've learned before, the Hashavas Aveda only applies between Jews. So ask the Gemara though, v'tepeklei, derive this, there's still an obligation to retrieve the animal from there, mishum avedas gufa, because of the loss of the animal itself. Why? The dilma kotlulo, that perhaps they'll kill it. The kusi, owner of this vineyard, may kill the animal. The Gemara says back, no, ba'asru de masru, it's dealing with a case, with a place, Astra is a place, the Masru that they warn, Vahadu Kotle, and then they go back, then they go forward and kill. We're talking about, they're warned before they'll kill the animal. So Frag the Gemara, Vidilma, and perhaps Ostruba, maybe already, they've already warned the owner, and you're coming in now and seeing it there, and it's already past the period of warning, and now they're about to kill the animal. To which the Gemara responds and says, "E, Asruba, if they've already warned the owner, and he's still leaving the animal there, lois daharuba, and they're not, and the owners are not being careful about it, from the word zahir, to be careful, they're not being careful about it, so vada avedim bedasi, then certainly this is considered a lost article, a lost animal, midas, from awareness, from knowledge, and therefore there's no obligation anyway to retrieve it. Okay, so now the Gemara goes to the next part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, "Hachzira ubarucha, hachzira barucha." If he returned it and then it ran away, hachzira barucha, he returned it and it ran away. This kept happening. So how far does he have to go to keep returning something which apparently the owner is not being careful with to keep it? So says the Gemara. Amalei hahu midrabbanan l'rava. One of the Rabbanan, or that one of the Rabbanan, one member of the Chachamim in the Beis Medrash, said to Rava, Ema Hoshev Chada Zimna. Set the word Ema, say, or I could say, Hoshev in the Pasuk. Now this Pasuk is from the Parsha there. I'll just read the Pasuk. This is in chapter 22, verse 1. L'siras Shoachicha. Do not see the ox of your brother, Seyo Nidachim, or his sheep going astray, Visalamta Mehem, and ignore them. Hashav Teshivim Lachicha, Hashav Teshivim. It's a double expression. Hashav, return, Teshivim, surely return, Lachicha to your brother. Return them to your brother. So, the Gemara is saying that from the word Hashav, return, written once, implies chada zimna, just one time, that you have to return it one time. Teshivim, the fact that it's written a second time in this double expression, surely return them, tre zimne, two times. So one could say that maybe the Torah is alluding to the obligation to only do it twice, not more than twice. Once the owner has shown negligence in looking after it, more than once, after you've returned it twice, so then there's no longer an obligation to go out of your way to return the lost article. So that's what I could say. That's what one of the Rabbanan said in the Beis Medrash. To Rava, Amalei Rava said back to this member of the Rabbanan, no, Hashav is a filu kuf. Pa'amim, mashma. Hashav implies even kuf is the number for 100. Even 100 times mashma, it implies that the chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda is even 100 times, meaning it's limitless. Hashav, always return a lost article. There's no limitation on how many times you have to keep going back to return it. But continues the Gemara. Teshivim, though, the second expression, teshivim, teaches us something different, as follows. Ein li ala lebeso. There is not to me except to his house. In other words, from the first word, hoshev, to return the lost article, you may think that you only have to give it back, or you fulfill your obligation only if you've put it back into the guy's house. Ein li ala lebeso. There is not to me except to his house. But Leginoso ulechrebaso, to his garden and to his ruin. We'll see what the significance of these places are in a few minutes. Minayin, from where do we know that that's also a satisfactory hashava, as Rashi says. Rashi says, Leginoso ulechrebaso minayin, to have your hashava, that it is called a hashava, it's a hashava, it's a returning, upotor, and now he's exempt from his mitzvah of hashava seveda. How do we know that it's satisfactory to return the item to his garden or to his chorba? Talmud Loma says the Gemara, thus the Torah teaches to shivim, surely return them, mikol mokum, mem, mikol mokum. No matter what, in all situations or in all places, you can return it. You fulfill your obligation. So you can return the item back to any place in the person's property. You don't have to give it back. You can put it back in the guy's backyard. You can put it back in a shed. You don't have to put it back necessarily inside the guy's house. So now the Gemara probes this. Hey Dalit, Heichi Domi. What is the case exactly? Heichi Domi. What is the case of this Gina and Chorba? So E Demintera, E if it is guarded, E if it is that it's guarded, Dalit prefix, Mintera, guarded, if it is that it's a guarded place, a well-protected place, so then, Pshita, it's obvious. What's the difference between his garden or his house proper? Idalo mintera, and if it's not guarded, am I? Why? Why should that be a satisfactory hashava? It's like putting it back on the street. You're not really returning it. You're not putting it back in a safe place. So the Gemara doesn't understand what is Rava saying? What's Rava saying back to this Talmud in the Beis Medrash? The Gemara answers, La'olam, in reality, Demintra, that it's guarded, it's a guarded place, it's a well-protected place, and, you know, it's like his house in that respect. However, Vaha, and this, Kamash Malan, the Pasuk is coming to teach us, Kamash Malan is coming to teach us, to make us hear, De'lo bi'inon das bailim, that we don't require the knowledge of the owners. When returning a lost item, you don't have to make sure that the owner is aware of the return. The lo bi'inam das bailam. We don't require the awareness, the knowledge of the owners in the item's return, says Rashi. Das bailam, the awareness, knowledge of the owners. Lo ma lo, to say to him, shemor, guard parasacha, your cow. Shehechzartiha, leginasacha, for I've returned it to your garden. Shematzasiha, that I found it, Ovedes, lost. You don't need to say that to the person. You don't need to warn the owner, look after it. You can just return it, and you don't have to make God of your way. If the person's not home, you don't have to go out of your way to make sure the owner's aware that you've returned the lost item. And you fulfill the obligation by putting it back without his awareness. As the Gemara continues, Ukudu Rebbe Loza, and like that statement made by Rebbe Lozer, the Omar, that he said, Hakol Tzrichim Das Bailim, everything requires knowledge of the owners. All returnings of property requires Das Bailim. Chutz Mashavas Aveda, with the exception of returning lost articles. Shahatorah Ripsa Hashavas Harbe, that the Torah increased many Hashavas. Increase the number of hashavas allowed in this double expression of hashav to shivim, as Rashi explains, hakol tzrichim hakol tzarach das bailam. Everything requires awareness of the owners. Ganav, gazlan, thief, a robber, vidal shomrim, the four custodians, shehashivu, that these people who returned tzrichin lehudio. They need to inform him, the owner. Vim lo hudio, and if he doesn't inform him, umesa, and then the animal died, back in the possession of the owner. But because the owner didn't realize it, onignava, or it was stolen from the owner's possession without the owner's awareness, chayovim b'achriyuson, the custodians, the ganav, etc., they're all obligated in their responsibility of the lost or dead animals. The cave in the yoda, sh'ovda, that since he knew that it got lost, and was the owner knew it was lost, it was gone from his possession, the lo yoda sh'hushva, and he doesn't know that it was returned to him, lo nizaba, he wasn't careful with it, the lo machila, and he didn't feed it and take care of it. So therefore, it's not his responsibility. It becomes the custodian's responsibility, the ganav's responsibility. So he could feel that he's fulfilled his responsibility. I mean, you know, the custodian is, you know, I borrow something from you. I borrow your car. I borrow your, you know, your axe. I borrow something from you. And I put it back in your garage without you knowing about it. So, you know, so that's, and then something happens. It gets lost or stolen, etc. So then I'm still responsible because you don't know to look after it after it's put back in your possession. This is only true by the Arba Shomrim and the Ganav and the Gazlim, but it's not true by Hashavas Aveda for some reason. Hashavas Aveda, it's an exception to the rule, and you can put it back without the owner's awareness. So the Gemara continues with another example of a mitzvah which has a double expression in the description of the mitzvah. And this is the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, sending away the mother bird in order to be able to take the chicks or the eggs in the nest. That's the mitzvah. A person is not allowed to, if a person wants to eat the chicks or the eggs in a nest, you can't take those chicks or eggs while the mother bird is still sitting on the nest. You have to shoo the mother bird away and make sure the mother bird is completely, fled from the nest, and then you're allowed to take the chicks or the egg. So the Mishnah, the Pasuk says, Shaleach Teshalach, you shall surely send away the mother bird. So Emo say, Shaleach, the first expression, Shaleach, send, implies Chadazimna. You have to do it once. In order to take the chicks, you have to send the mother bird away once. Teshalach, the second time it says to send, implies Trezimne, two times, that you have to do it a second time. But maybe that's all you have to do. That if you try, you attempt to send the mother bird once and twice, and it keeps coming back, maybe there's no longer a mitzvah to continue doing the mitzvah. Rashi says, Shaleach is legabe shiluach akan, with regard to the mitzvah of shiluach akan. The word kan means nest. Sending away the sending away of the nest, literally. It's really sending away the mother bird, but it's sending away the mother bird from the nest. Tarte zimne, two times. That's actually the Girsa Rashi had. Girsa is tre zimne, it means the same thing. Tre and tarte means two. Rashi says, v'anan, and yet, to say that the mitzvah only applies to do it two times is not correct, because Rashi says, and Antanan, we learned in the Mishnah, this Mishnah, I believe, is in Chulin, Sholcha v'chazra, if he sent it away, and it returned, he sent it away and it returned, afilu arba, even four, v'chamisha, five, pa'amim, four or five times, chayov, he's still obligated to continue in the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. So, the Gemara's question is that this pasuk sounds like the mitzvah is only two times from the double expression of shaleach to shalach. So, and yet the Mishnah says you have to do it even many times. So Amalei, see, he said back to him, and again this is still the conversation between the Talmud and Rava. Rava said back to him, shaleach, send. Afilu mea pa'amim, even 100 times. Send, always send the mother bird away. There's no limit to how many times you have to do it. Mashma, it implies. Teshalach, though, the second expression, teshalach, means the following. Ein li ela l'dvar rishus. There isn't to me except for a permissible matter. A dvar rishus, an optional matter would be a better translation. L'dvar rishus, a matter of option. Meaning, as Rashi explains, l'dvar rishus, she'ein tzorach l'tzipor ala l'ochlo. He doesn't need the bird except to eat it. In other words, the only purpose in him sending the mother bird away is in order to eat the chick, the bird inside the nest. That's why you're sending the mother bird away, to eat the chick or the eggs inside the nest, and therefore, that's where the mitzvah applies. But, the Gemara says, the Dvar Mitzvah, for the sake of a mitzvah, Minayin. From where do we know? Talmud Lomar, the Torah thus therefore teaches, Teshalach, you should certainly send it away, even as in a situation where there's a mitzvah. Now what does that mean? Rashi explains, the Dvar Mitzvah for the sake of a mitzvah, for the matter of a mitzvah, Hayetzorech letaher bo es mitzvah. It was necessary to become purified with it, the mitzora, or to purify with it the mitzora, a leper, mitzora, a leper, or the leper, meaning that the person is taking the mother bird away from the nest to use it as a sacrifice, as a carbon for the purity, the tahara of a mitzora. It was needed to purify with it the mitzora. Menayin, from where do we know? She'asur, that it's forbidden, be'aim al habonim, with the mother on the chicks. Talmud lomar, tishalach, surely send. So what this means is that the mitzvah of shluch can applies even when you have a conflicting mitzvah or a second mitzvah involved with the mother bird. You may think that the mitzvah shluch can wouldn't apply in this situation where you have a mitzvah related necessity for the mother bird, and maybe you could just go ahead and take the mother bird and take the chicks to for whatever you want to use the chicks for, and use the mother bird for the sake of the mitzvah. There's no mitzvah shluch can. So the Torah is teaching us that no, that the mitzvah shiloh can applies under all circumstances. And that's what we learn from the second tishalach. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara says, again, we're going through several mitzvahs over here, which have double expressions, and we'll be explaining the second expression to teach us an additional dimension of the mitzvah. And the next example the Gemara gives is omalei, again, one of the members of the Rabbanan said l'rava to Rava, and say hocheach. It's interesting, actually, the way this is presented a little bit differently to the previous cases, but it right away just says ema and say hocheach chadazimna. This is referring to the mitzvah of tuchacha, of giving rebuke. The Torah says, let's see where the pasuk is. The pasuk is in the Vayikra Yud Zayin. If you have the same version of Gemara as I do, it's on the left hand side. It's quoted in note Dalad towards the bottom. But you could look this up. It's Vayikra 19:17. The pasuk says, "Lusistna es achicha b'levavecha, do not hate your brother inside your heart." Hocheach tuchiach es amisecha. Surely reprimand, rebuke your people. Ulusisa olav chait, and do not carry upon, let there not be carried upon him sin. So a lot of discussion about all the different dimensions of this pasuk, but the part we're going to focus on right now is hocheach tuchiach, to give rebuke, to reprimand when you see wrongdoing being done among the people. You have to intercede and reprimand the individual to correct the person's behavior. So the Gemara says, Eimer, and say, Hocheach, reprimand, implies, Chadazimna, just one time. Tochiach, surely reprimand, Trezimne, two times. So the implication is that maybe the mitzvah only applies to doing it twice, and if a person persists in doing the Aveira, there's no longer an obligation to continue reprimanding the individual. And again, Omalei, he said back to him, Rava said back to the Echad Merabonin, one of the Rabbonin, one of the Talmidim, Hocheach afilu me'a pa'amim mashma. No, Hocheach implies even 100 times. The first reference is afilu kuf pa'amim, even 100 times mashma. But Hocheach, surely reprimand, the second expression, Ein li el harav l'talmid. I don't know, except a situation of the Rav to the Talmud, that the Rav has to reprimand the Talmud. But Talmud le Rav, but a Talmud to a Rav, Minayin, how do we know that even a student is permitted to reprimand the teacher? How do we know that even a student can do that, do the mitzvah of tuchacha to a teacher? Talmud lomar, therefore the Torah teaches, Hochiach techiach mikol mokam, surely reprimand no matter what the circumstances are. Now this, there is a limitation to this. It doesn't mean to say that the Talmud can yell at the Rebbe, but rather, if you see a teacher doing something which is incorrect, which is wrong, then the proper way to, the preferred way to fulfill this mitzvah of tochacha with the Rebbe is to say something to the effect of, Didn't you teach us otherwise? You've taught us to do it this way, in a respectful fashion, not in a dogmatic and critical way. Another example the Gemara gives: Azov ta'azov imo. The pasuk says, "Surely help along with him. Now, this is the mitzvah of what's called prika. Prika is the mitzvah of helping someone unload packages from his animal. If his animal is falling over and it's collapsed under the weight of the packages, so then there's a mitzvah of prika to help the owner unload the packages from the back of the animal. That's the mitzvah of prika. Rashi says azov tazov prika. Right? There's a system mitzvah to this which is called te'ina, where the animal, all the packages have already fallen off the back of the animal, and there's a mitzvah to help the owner load the packages back onto the animal. We'll see that mitzvah in a few minutes. But right now we're going to focus on azov tazov, surely help the owner unload the packages from the back of the animal. So the Gemara says, Ein li ela bala vimo. There isn't to me in this pasuk, this mitzvah, except if its owners are along with him. In other words, maybe the mitzvah only applies when the owner is helping you to unload the packages. But she'ein bala vimo, but if the owners are not with him in helping him unload the packages, benign, how do I know that there's still a mitzvah to help? In other words, maybe there's no mitzvah to help the owner if he's not there with him. Now, there's a mission later on 32a, which says clearly that if the owner is able and he's not helping him and he's just standing by there, then there's definitely no mitzvah to help him to do it by yourself if the owner could do it, could help along with you. Here we're discussing where the owner is not able to do it. He's sick. He's not able to help you. So the Gemara is questioning that. She'ein bala vimo menayin, where the owners are not with him for a legitimate reason, how do I know that there's still a mitzvah to help? Talmud loma azov ta'azov mikol makom, surely help under all circumstances. So there's a havamina, the Gemara is entertaining the havamina, that even in a situation where the owner is not able to help you, that there's no obligation to help in that situation. But nonetheless, the Torah is saying, yes, you have to help. It's just interesting that if the owner is physically unable to help you, that there's a havamina that there's no obligation to help him unload the packages from the donkey, from the animal. So we'll have to discuss that, what the havamina is, why there is such a havamina. But nonetheless, the Torah is coming to teach us over here, this pasuk, that nonetheless you do have an obligation under all circumstances to help someone unload their packages. So now the Gemara goes on to that sister mitzvah and says, Hakeim Tokim. So Hakeim Tokim, which literally means hakeim, from the word to rise up, kom, is to get up. So raise, surely raise up. Raise up, you shall raise up. Imo, along with him. And this is the other mitzvah of helping the animal, helping to put the loads back onto the animal's back, as Rashi says, hakeim tokim ti'ina, which means to load up the animal. So says the Gemara, Ein li ela balo ba'alov imo. There is not to me in this pasuk, except if its owners are along with him. Same idea as before. Maybe you only have an obligation if the owner is there along with you. So that, but she'ein ba'alov imo. But if the owners are not there along with you, menayin, how do I know that still is an obligation to help the owner, to help load up the packages onto the back of the animal? Talmud loma. Therefore, the verse teaches, Hakeim Tokim, surely raise up, do it under all circumstances, as the Gemara says, Mikol Mokom, in all cases, literally from all places. But in all situations, you have to do it. So now, the Gemara now analyzes these two mitzvahs, and because they seem so similar to each other, the question is, why did the Torah need to tell us both mitzvahs? So says the Gemara, V'lom alei l'michtov prika, why to the Torah, is it necessary to write prika, which is the first one of unloading, and why to it, to the Torah, to write te'ina, which is the other one of loading? What's the necessity of both psukim, of both mitzvahs? The answer is tzrichi. They're both necessary, they're needed. Why? The ikos of Rachmana Prika, that if the Torah had only written the mitzvah of Prika, of unloading,
Hava Amina, I would have said, Mishom because the Iketzar Balei Chayim, that there is pain of animal. Well, the Iketzar Balei Chayim is the expression of pain, undue pain being caused to an animal. So the expression Tsar is pain, Balei Chayim, literally, masters of life, but that's an expression referring to animals. Balei Chayim refer to animals. And that's the expression, Tsar Balei Chayim, the pain, undue pain caused to animals. So if the animal is laying there with this big load on its back, and weighed down, it's collapsed because of the load on the back, so obviously the animal is in discomfort. So the Hava Amina is by Prika, the Iket Tsar Balei Chayim, that there is Tsar Balei Chayim, there is pain caused to the animal. The Ika Chisaron Kis, and in addition there is Chesaron Kis, Chisaron Kis, which means the loss of pocket. Chisaron is less, deficiency or depletion of pocket, which is an expression for loss of money. Rashi says, Chisaron Kis, Shaha Behemo Miskalkeles, the animal is going to become ruined or damaged or hurt because of the load on its back. So there's a potential loss of money on the part of the owner by leaving the animal there without helping to unload those packages. So there, I may think that there's a mitzvah there of, that's where there's a mitzvah prika. There's a mitzvah prika nonetheless. Aval te'ina, but with regard to te'ina loading the animal, the animal's just standing there, the packages have fallen off. De'lav tzar balei chayim ika. So the word ika is there is, and lav is the negative, so there is not. De'lav tzar balei chayim ika, that there isn't any tzar balei chayim there. Velo chesron kis ika, and consequently there's no loss of money because the animal is not suffering, is not being damaged in any way. So I may say no, that there's no obligation to help whatsoever if the owner is not there, you know, helping you. So that's why there's a hamamina to say, okay, just leave the animal. I don't have to load the packages back on. That's why it's necessary to still nonetheless write. There's a mitzvah of hakein tokim to help raise up the loads back onto the animal's back. Continues the Gemara, v'yashmi'ina te'ina. And if I would only hear the mitzvah of te'ina, of loading the animal, mishum, there I may say mishum de beschar, because that with payment, meaning that the mitzvah of te'ina, we'll discuss this, but the mitzvah of te'ina allows the person who's helping to receive payment for loading the animal, loading the things back onto the animal. Rashi says mishum de beschar, that with that, because that with payment, shenosnu schar, that they give to him payment, the ikar leman de omar, that there is leman de omar, according to one opinion, lekamon te'ina beschar, loading an animal is with payment, prika bechinam, but unloading the animal is for free. So, again, back to the Gemara, v'yashmin te'ina, and if I would hear the mitzvah of te'ina, there, mishum de beschar, because there is, it's being done with payment. And that's what I would know. Aval prika, but unloading the animal, the bechinom, that it should always be done for free. Aim alo, I may say there's no obligation to do it. I may say there's no obligation to help to unload for free, meaning to say that I may say that the mitzvah of unloading would be exactly the same thing as te'ina of loading. That just like you can load for payment, you can unload for payment. You wouldn't know the special halacha of unloading that it can be done for free. Tzricha. Therefore, both psukim, both verses, both mitzvahs are necessary. Ulerb Shimon de Omar after Ina Bechinam, and according to Reb Shimon that said even Tina, even loading has to be done for free. So Mayak Lamema, what is there to say now? In other words, according to Reb Shimon, both the mitzvah Tina and mitzvah of Prika seem exactly the same. they have to be done for free. So therefore, once you know one mitzvah, you know the other one. The answer is, L'Rab Shimon, lo Messiah meikroi. According to Rab Shimon, the verses are not conclusive. Messiah mei. Rashi says, lo Messiah meikroi, hay mash mati'ina, ve hay mash prika. Which one implies ti'ina, loading, which one implies prika, unloading? In other words, the words of azov ta'azov, surely help, tokim, hokim tokim, raise up. Those two expressions could actually mean both prika and ti'ina, respectively. In other words, azov, well, let me just finish the Rashi over here. Vikos of chado, and if the Torah written one of them, havamina, I may have said leprika. See, I would have said, if there was only one pasuk, I would have said the pasuk refers to the most obvious one, which is prik, which is unloading, asa. Because there's more pain to the animal, there's more, you know, it's more obvious to say that the mitzvah is applicable to unloading the animal. There's pain to the animal, loss of money to the owner because of the pain to the animal. Aval te'ina, but loading the animal, lo kos rachmona, aval te'ina, lo. But loading the animal, low. I may have not applied it to that. So therefore, kosher rachmana, therefore the Torah wrote, idoch, the other one, the te'ina for loading. So again, if the Torah had only written one pasuk, and both psukim could really imply both mitzvahs. Azov ta'azov, surely help. Okay, help load or help unload, it's not clear. And even hokim tokim, raise up. Is it raising up the packages or raising up the animal because of the weight of the packages on the back of the animal? Both psukim could imply both mitzvahs. So if you only had one of those two psukim, you would have gone to the most obvious application, which would be to unload the animal from the packages on its back. And therefore the Torah wrote the other one to tell you that both mitzvahs are necessary, or both activities are necessary to do. So now the Gemara asks, regarding these two mitzvahs, in contrast to the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. So says the Gemara, Lama li lemichtov hani tarte? Why to me to write these two mitzvahs of Prika and Te'ina, v'lama li lemichtov Aveda, and why to me to write Aveda? In other words, returning a lost article is essentially the same thing, or rephrase it, loading an animal, unloading of the animal, is essentially the same concept as returning a lost article. You're just basically restoring people's property. You're helping the person to get back his property in a wholesome way as it was before. So why? So really, you could just write, the Torah could just say, Hashavas Aveda, mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, and you would know the other mitzvahs as well. As Rashi says, Lama li lemichta Aveda, why does the Torah write Aveda, Hashavas Aveda? The mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, returning lost articles, lichtav oha oha, v'libnu mina. Let it write either this one or that one. Actually, Rashi says, let it write oha, either this one oha or that one, v'libnu mina, and derive it from it. Derive the other one, either derive prekantina from Hashavas Aveda or Hashavas Aveda from prekantina. V'libnu mina means derive it from it. The Hakulahu, because all of them, as Horus Maman Yisraelhu, they're all warnings regard to the property, the money of a Jew. It is. It's all a warning about being careful about another person's property. So says the Gemara. The answer why we need all these psukim is tzricha. They're all necessary. Dikas Rachmana Hanitarte. That if the Torah had written only these two of Te'ina and Prika, Mishum de Tzara de Marad Isa. Because that there is pain of its owner, there is tzara de mara. There is pain to the owner. Rashi says, "Who are omeid sham? He's standing there. He's the one standing there. Ve'ein yochel liton levada. He can't load up the animal by himself. Ve'chein lifrok, and similarly to unload it. This pain to the Rashi. The Gemara says, "Mishum de tzara de mara isa." That there is pain of the owner, there is. Sarah did da Isa, and pain of it there is, which is referring to the animal. There's pain, discomfort to the owner of the mara, and Sarah did da, and its pain, the animal's pain, Isa. There's two levels of pain. Avel Aveda, but a lost article, that Sarah de mara Isa, that there is pain of the owner, there is. the tsar dida lesa, but and pain of it, the animal, there isn't. There's no pain of the animal. There's no animal when you're returning a lost article. So there's only pain, there's only frustration to the owner, but no frustration to an animal. There's less frustration in the whole situation. Aim alone, maybe, I would say no, maybe there's no obligation to do Hashavas Aveda. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is this, we're talking about these mitzvahs of chesed, of going above and beyond the letter of the law. These are mitzvahs that we're supposed to, these are not just nice things to do. These are obligations, these are legislated laws. Hashavas Aveda, Prika Te'ina. Question is, how far does the Torah go to legislate chesed? Right? So the Gemara is saying that maybe the Torah only goes as far to legislate, it doesn't go, when there's only pain, frustration to an owner, but not on top of that frustration and pain to an animal, maybe that much legislation of chesed, the Torah doesn't go, doesn't require. If there's pain to an animal and pain to the owner, then the Torah legislates chesed. You have to help, you have to get involved. But if there's only pain to the owner, maybe that's not legislated. And that's why the Torah has to say, Hashav is Aveda, that's legislated as well. And then conversely, the Gemara says, V'i Hashmin Aveda, and if the Torah had only told us the mitzvah of Hashav is Aveda, Mishum de lesser lemar bahada. There, the reason is maybe because the owner's not there. The owner is not present by the article and is unable to retrieve it by himself. However, onto the next page, but with respect to these two, the mitzvahs of Tina and Prika, the Isa Lamora Bahada, that there is literally there is the owner with it, the Isa that there is Lamora, I'm not sure what the Lama prefix is, but Rashi says, and I'll give the Rashi in a second, the Isa Lamora Bahada, that the owner is along there with it, aim low, I may say no. There's no obligation, I'm not obligated, and again, not obligated. Of course, it's a tremendous chesed and a kind thing to do. Are we obligated? That's the discussion of it. Are you obligated? And you may say, no, you're not obligated. Tzricha, therefore, is necessary to say that, you know, you're obligated. It's law. Rashi says, the isay lemora, that the owner's there with him, to ksiv emo, that it's written emo along with him. So therefore, ema, I could say, let him go after people, let the owner go after people, v'yisko, and hire people to help him load or unload. But with regard to myself, maybe I have no obligation. I don't have a proactive obligation to get up and help and offer myself. And that's why the Torah is teaching us, no, you do. That the Torah is requiring us to view these opportunities, view these situations as obligations, as chiyuvim, and I'm emphasizing this again and again because I think it's a fascinating concept that chesed is not a, you know, in the secular world, chesed is viewed as ethics, as nice things to do. And one of the things I always say, especially in my CLE seminars, is that these mitzvahs are not just nice ethical acts of kindness, but they are obligations, just like we have to fast on Yom Kippur, we have to eat matzah on Pesach, they're all obligations.